Hallelujah. We're going to talk about wisdom today. And we need wisdom. There's one thing is that the Word of God is where really wisdom is found. And the Holy Spirit is in you today to teach you and to really to reveal the wisdom of God is to take the Scriptures and make a revelation of the Scripture to you so you understand and know how to apply that wisdom. That's what the Holy Spirit's in there. He's a great teacher. And He'll show you what to do and how to follow the Word of God. And, you know, we're not going to go back over what we went over last week, the things we were talking about. We're over in the first chapter. We're going to go back to that then. But first, I just want to share some Scripture with you, with Paul's writing to Timothy about the Scriptures as we need to look at. In 2 Timothy, the third chapter, we're going to go there. We're going to talk about the Scripture because we're going to look at starting at verse 16. That's verse 16 starts off and says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now I want you to think about this. He says, all Scripture is given. Now, you need to understand this. This is where the church has really missing it today. Because the church has just, you know, there's a lot of the Bible the church doesn't study, the church doesn't follow and look at. Because understand this, there was no New Testament in Paul's day. All their preaching was from the Old Covenant. All of it was. And he said all Scripture was given by inspiration of God. So, in other words, there's things the Old Covenant that were given by inspiration of God for us. They're given by inspiration of God. This is really an important thing. You know, I realize we're not under the Mosaic law. We don't have to do the sacrifices and that stuff. But the moral law stands. It ain't ever changed. The moral law has never changed. In fact, look how much the Apostle Paul wrote letters to the churches about their moral conduct. He wrote more about moral conduct than faith itself. And we preach faith a lot. But the church don't preach moral conduct because that ain't the popular thing to do. Because too many people would feel guilty. The moral conduct, if you preach that in a church, you're going to lose a lot of people. Because most people go along with the culture of the day. And the culture of the day is immoral. We have an immoral culture. And the church is full of immoral culture. We don't see ourselves in that way. But there's a lot of things that we accept. If I go back to when I was a kid, there's a lot of things morally that would never today, I mean, people back then who weren't alive and see if they saw it today, they would just be totally shocked at what the church allows to go on. And what even we call good church allows to go on. People don't say, hey, hold, that's wrong. Can't do that. And, you know, we don't have good the things with good conduct. We want to look at this because in the Scriptures here it says, so all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And now he tells us what it's given for. And we're talking about wisdom. Because this is one thing is, wisdom is something we talked about is taught and preached. There's no such thing when we talk about people that have common sense. Common sense is not something that people are born with. It's nothing inherent about common sense. How you live and what you do, your wisdom is based on what you receive as truth and what you live by. Whatever you were taught or things, however, you know, it was. You know, some were, is one of the things, and I mean, my parents, there was a lot of good thing, scriptural things that they taught us was for good, for conduct and lifestyle and things and stuff when I was a kid. And they put that into us. But now if you'd got somebody as a Buddhist, they'd have been taught something completely different. They wouldn't have the common sense. Any nation that I go to, they have things under their culture that they follow and do. And I'm always really interested in it. Like there's things that in America here that we have in our culture today is so destructive in our nation. And even the Christians have accepted. And a lot of Christians, even ones that say spirit-filled and stuff, they follow a lot of things of culture that cause them a lot of problems and why the Word of God don't work for them. And I just watch, you know, you watch what people do. They follow the culture. And so if I go to another country, I always find they say follow cultures. I go into countries and things that are poor. I can tell you by watching their culture why they're poor. Lots of times their culture, if you can't change, that's their common sense. That's their common sense. And they practice that. That's their common sense. And so whatever you're taught and how you're taught about it is going to determine a lot how things are going to turn out. That's why the stupidest thing in the world, the church today, it preaches culture. Church is trying to move people on. We're trying to have everybody keep their culture. You know, God has one culture. If you're a Christian, you ain't supposed to have any other culture than Christianity. And if you got another one, if you're Irish or Spanish or Mexican or whatever it is, you're an idiot. That's not what you are if you're a Christian. Number one, your culture is the Bible. That's your culture. That comes number one. Is following the Bible. You need to understand that. If we don't, this is why. The Bible, follow Bible culture, and I will tell you this, you'll prosper. You follow the Bible and you follow up the Bible, you can have health. If you follow the Bible, you won't do so many dumb things. Thank God the Bible helped me out a lot because I was living under another culture. Before I got born again, I had accepted a lot of things, a lot of stuff. And I had to completely change. I had to learn to completely change that to pick up a new culture. And I have kingdom of God culture. That's what I have. That's what you're supposed to have. Jesus, let's just think of this. Jesus had to come to teach the Jews the God's culture. They weren't living it. They weren't doing it. They didn't have it. That's why I know all these nutty people today Christians trying to get over into the Jewish religion thinking, you ain't gonna find the kingdom of God culture following after the Jews. If they had it, they'd be following Jesus. They're God. Knucklehead Christians? Stupid as the day is long? Can't read the Bible for themselves? The devil teaches them and they follow it. Good preaching it. We got, there's a nuttiness. There's a training and a teaching. And I mean, it's a constant thing. You can't ever get away from it. You got to constantly keep yourself over in the areas of training and teaching. Is letting the scriptures teach us. Now the scriptures given for this purpose, there's scripture. Now we have Old Testament and New Testament. There's things that we can surely learn from both. But it says, now, scripture is this and is profitable. Now, in other words, it'll profit us and it's going to tell us how it will profit us. It's going to be interesting because money ain't going to be money's not mentioned here. The word money isn't mentioned. There's other profit in the church besides that. Did you know that? The American culture has the dollar sign. That's American culture. That's a big thing in American culture. This is one thing is you need to be very careful concerning following conservatism. It's one of the high priorities on conservatism is a dollar today. It's a dollar. The dollar's hurt us a lot. Money's hurt us a lot because we have followed more money than we have God. We vote on the basis of not morality, but the guy who can prosper us. I want to tell you, I can live in any culture, and if I follow God's word, I'll have money. If it don't work, if you have to vote a certain guy into office for it to work, you're so messed up and squirrely, you ain't got an idea whether you're coming or going. This is what's wrong in America. We need to be very careful in this thing. Conservatism today has nothing to do with godliness. In fact, there's a lot of conservatism. I don't like it all today. I'm not per se as a conservative because people call conservatism. There's people in conservatism today. I have no idea what planet they came from. They're not the idea of somehow conservatism and Christianity are tied together. If that's your thoughts, you got some messed up. That doesn't mean there's nobody who's into conservatives could be a Christian. I'm not saying that. But you need to go watch. We have tied these doctrines that in the Bible together today and it's wrong. And it's led to a lot of wrong Christianity. And they try to divide us up into groups and I'm divided into the kingdom of God group. That's where I'm at. Want to know where I'm at? That's the one I'm loyal to. I'm not loyal to any other group. You can't count on me for any other group. There's only one I'm loyal to. And if they're going to have to become loyal, to start to get loyal to God. See, we need to help a godness. If conservatism was the thing to help, our country would have been helped a long time ago. But our country, even with conservatism, has gone down the tubes. Why? Because you can't leave God out. You can't leave God out. You can't do it. We find the Word of God, and this is interesting. It's not the Constitution, the law, or whatever it is. The Word of God is profitable for this person. It says, first of all, with doctrine. And what's meant by doctrine? A lot of people, they hear these terms, doctrine, and they think of something religious. It's nothing religious, the word doctrine. The word doctrine is a good word. It is just basically, it's a principle or a position, or it's a body of principles in a, like say, a branch of knowledge or a system of belief. See, when we teach, when I'm teaching the Word of God, when I'm teaching the principles of the kingdom, I'm teaching doctrine. Faith is a doctrine, is one of the doctrines of the church. And so we talk, salvation is a doctrine of the church. There's doctrine, the things that we teach is what doctrine is. So it says it's good for doctrine. There are beliefs and principles that follow in line with the Word. We need to understand. We shouldn't be preaching any other kind of principles or doctrines than what the church teaches. But we find this out. Paul wrote to Timothy and told him that in the last days, people were going to be preaching the doctrines of devils, which was going to happen in the church. It's already going on. It's been going on for years and years. The doctrines of the devils have been taught in the church. We're not teaching Bible doctrines. We're teaching doctrines to suit men. What were going to happen, these groups of people, they were going to draw teachers to themselves. They were going to want, this is what I want to hear. I don't want to hear that moral stuff. I don't want to hear that living right doctrine stuff. Don't give me that. Give me a doctrine that says I'm going to be all right no matter what I do. Give me the doctrine, if I just put some money in the plate, I'm going to get money in my pocket. I want that doctrine. Give me that doctrine. Just tell me that. Don't tell me if I live like hell and put money in it. Just think because I got money. Now think about this. What did Jesus talk about? One of the churches, the book of Revelation. They're a church. He said, boy, you guys look like you're doing good. You're money, you're rich, you got all this stuff. He said, but you don't know. You're poor, naked, and everything else. You don't know. Why? Well, they couldn't have been preaching doctrines of God because Jesus said, I'm standing at the door knocking. I can't get in your church. See, because things look good and everything else, we have the look good church today. And that's what most people, they want the look good Christianity. It's the look good stuff. And I've said many times over the years, the Apostle Paul would never get in 99% of churches. I'm Spirit-filled churches today would never let him come in and preach. They wouldn't want to hear from him because he'd make people feel uneasy because of doctrines. Why? Because it says the Scripture's good for doctrine. It says in for, oh, this dirty word, reproof. Oh, reproof. Timothy was a pastor of a church, and Paul's telling that he's the Bible's good for reproof. And reproof, listen what this word means. Criticism for a fault, a rebuke. Oh. Are we supposed to do that in the church? Oh no. We walk in love. Oh, we're so loving. Oh. No criticism. No, no, that's psychologically not good for people because the psychiatrist said so. And we know that psychiatrists are more important than God is. And in the church, he is. Psychiatrists. Much is being taught today. Psychology. Psychology. The pep talk ministers on TV, loads of them, they give their pep talks. It's not about psychology. People love the psychology. They love it. Psychology is based on getting you to do it, and they learn how to do it. Psychology is a wonderful manipulation tool. Make you feel good and put their hand right in your wallet. They know how to do it. See, people can do things in different ways. You know, you can get a preacher who will preach the word and people will want to give to them. And there's people who know how to use psychology to get you to give. I watch people all the time giving money. I remember back years ago at PTL and I watched people. And I knew PTL was going to fall. I knew PTL was going to fall years before it fell. I was a baby Christian and knew PTL was going to fall. You know why? I used to read the Bible and I used to listen to things that they did and I used to think, you can't keep going and doing what you're doing. It's not right. Why? Payday always comes. But you know what? They had people, see people, they were saying what they wanted to hear said. They were hearing things that they liked but weren't true. They were trying to build this fantasy world. They were trying to build and have, this place where all these Christians come and get away from all the world because the world is so bad. We're never called to that. I used to always wonder about that because I never went along with that. And then when I got to Rhema, Kenneth Hagin talked about it. He said, you look in church history, any groups that ever tried to build cities where only Christians lived, he said every one of them's failed. None of them work. And they do. We tried it here in the United States. They've tried around different places. And it always fails. Why? Because God didn't call you to ever do that. The church is not a hideout. And that's what it's become. It's the hideout. Because while we can't take it living around these people, we got to all get. We have to have our own amusement park. We got to all go to have our own amusement park where we can let all the Christians get together and let their flesh go. Amusement park, but you need to understand their whole thing of it is, is today you tie anything that named Christian to it, it becomes Christian. See, I'm a Christian businessman. What is makes you different than I know many. I've ran into more crooked Christian businessmen, and I've ran into loads of honest sinners who did work and really did things and did them good. I am skeptical as soon as the guy throws his Christian right out in front of me, right away the red flag goes up and I don't know if I want to deal with him. Because I'm not interested in what you say you are, I'm interested in what you do. You can tell me anything you want. We'll find out. You give time and I'll find out whether it's Christian or not. We'll find out. But see, you stick with the book. The book is good for this. The book is good. Now, the book's good for reproof. In other words, the message that is written in the Scriptures is for this. Now, listen to what he's saying that the Scriptures are good for. They're good for doctrine. They're good for reproof. Now, listen to these things. For correction. Well, correction's just the action or an instance of correcting, such as like amending, rectification, rebuke, punishment, bringing into conformity with a standard, something substituted in place of something that's wrong. So these things are going to have to be dealt with. This is one of the things it is. We don't do that in the church anymore. We don't correct things. See, and this is doctrinally, this is what you do. You preach. We're supposed to be preaching and correcting wrong doctrines and wrong things that are taught. We don't do that anymore. We don't teach those things because, well, correction makes you uncomfortable. We don't want to hear that we're doing wrong. We want blessing. We want God. We want things to work out. But don't tell me I'm doing it wrong. just pray for me and make it work while I still do it wrong. The church is really messed up. It's messed up in its idea. We have to change what we do. See, if I take it over the years, God deals. If something's not working right, God's trying to deal with me what to do. So, what to change. And I've learned this. If I go for time something ain't working, God don't have to talk to me about it. I go to Him first now and say, Lord, where am I missing it? Most people will wait 2 or 3 years while it don't go right. Till finally, maybe they want to listen, and then sometimes they don't even want to listen then. Well, I believe it's this way. Is your way working? No. Okay. What's wrong? So what we do, we stop finding out what's wrong. There's nothing bad about finding out what's wrong. I would think that'd be a good thing. But in our culture today, we have been trained and thought that any kind of correction, you can't do anything that would hurt somebody's feelings. If your feelings get hurt because you're corrected, there's something wrong with you. No, I'm not saying this to be mean. There's something wrong with you that is, and I mean, and it's not good because you can't be changed. If you can't be corrected, you can't be changed. Do you understand that? See, we're in a society that wants things to work different without change. Oh, we'll change any perverted thing that comes along. Anything that's easier for the flesh. But something that requires more out of us, our culture is today is to reject. You know, we have just too much pressure. I want to tell you what, if you can't take pressure, you're never going to be much of a Christian. Christianity isn't about avoiding pressure. Christianity will give you pressures you never had before. If you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer a lot of money in your wallet, and you're going to be tiptoeing through the tulips, and you're going to be playing a ukulele, and you're going to be, yeah. No. You're going to suffer persecution. You're going to suffer. You think the devil's going to go lay down because you become a Christian? No, he's not. He'll send people across your path just to make your life miserable. Pressure. The idea that if everything runs good, then you can really develop and grow is the biggest lie that the devil ever put in the church and got in people. This is America. America thinks if everything is going good. Do you know America, every time America has gone on and succeeded and done anything great, it's always been under great pressures in our nation. Because under times of pressure, those are the times that people step out and do something beyond themselves. You know, Mike used this morning about, you know, the Elijah, again, Elisha and the woman with the oil. Did you notice this? That it's always interesting with God? God comes along and asks her, first of all, he's speaking to the prophet. She said, we need help. He says, what do you have? In other words, what are you doing with what you got? What you need to understand, quit asking God for more. If you want more, start doing something with what you got. You'll end up with something more. You know, one of the terrible things, I used to listen to this, and it always sort of irked me, these ministers. Well, God gives seed to the sower, but they would leave the impression, because you want a seed, you want to sow, God will give you some. No, he don't. He said he gives seed to the sower. You got to start giving. Then he'll give you something, but you got to do the giving first, not wait for him to give you something to give. When you sit down and say, I don't have enough to give, there was a guy named Elijah, and he went to a woman, and she didn't have enough flour for him to eat, and her and her son. But what did God do? God got her to give the prophet the meal first. Why? She had to give what she had. That's how God taught me to prosper. That's how he taught Wanda and I to prosper, sitting in a meeting. And all we have is $87. That's what we got. $87. And ain't at the meeting, that's everything we got. That's all the money we got. And God said, put it in the offering. You know why? He wanted to bless me. I had to use what I had. I'm asking for more. People are asking for more. I learned the lesson a long time ago as a baby Christian. God is always going to ask you to use what you got. And when you're tight with what you got, that's what you're keeping. You're keeping what you got. What? We were trying some years ago, we had money in a credit card, we wanted to get it paid off, and we're trying to do it. So you know what God did to us? This is God. Had us give away $2,200 on the credit card. Added to it. I had a hard time with that. Oh, I had a bad attitude about that one. And I thought, what am I trying to get rid of this debt on here? And you know what? We gave that money, and within a year, we were out of debt on that credit card. See, that didn't make sense to people. Now, I know preachers that would have preached against it, but thank God I don't listen to a lot of preachers. If the Holy Ghost is talking, you pay attention to the Holy Ghost. But see, God is going to ask you. Well, he couldn't ask me to give $2,200 because I didn't have that in cash, so I couldn't ask me to do that. But what you got, he's going to ask you to do something with it. Now this says, I wasn't going this way at all, but this is where the Holy Ghost is going. See, people need to know, we're not doing this. See, the church has left a lot of things of sound doctrine, has left a lot of things. We got this place, I don't want pressure. If you want to succeed in the kingdom of God, you're going to have pressure. You're going to have to step outside of your comfort. If you're having trouble stepping outside your comfort, you got a problem, and it's your problem. You got to deal with your emotions. You got to deal with you and what, you know, your little rational mind. You got to deal with those things. We want more from God. I want God to change this nation. Can he change it with me? Can he do it? Can he do it through? See, we got to sit down. No, we're waiting. God send somebody. I'm totally convinced why ain't nothing happening. I'm totally convinced. It's a church. We're waiting around, but what about me? Could God really use me or not? Well, what do I? Well, God, you're going to have to give me a greater anointing. The Holy Ghost in you ain't enough, you know, that stupid little Holy Ghost, that little weenie thing that you've got. You surely need something more. My. You know, for you to become a billionaire, you're definitely going to have more money. You can't make it with what you got. It'd never turn in anything like that. You're going to have somebody else give you something. You're going to need it. You and God ain't enough. That's for sure. This is good preaching, folks. I'm going to guarantee you 99.9% of the church, if the prophet showed up and all there was enough meal and a thing for you and your kid, the prophet would be starved to death outside on the porch. That's the faith people in America. That's the faith church in America. It's not all their fault. Because why? They have been fleeced. The church in America has been fleeced and fleeced and fleeced by ministers taking money. And all they're doing is taking money and getting richer and richer and richer and richer and richer. And we see the nation going worse and worse and worse. What is happening? What's all this stuff? What's the point of giving money and living in a nation going down the tube? We don't question nothing. Be nice to talk to God about some of these things. Because you know what? He would love to be able to give a voice to some of this stuff. He has some different opinions about some things. Kenneth Hagin had differences in opinions that God told him. And he told some of these leaders that are up today, he talked to them about it. And they didn't like it. They wouldn't listen to what he had to say. He was old-fashioned. God's old-fashioned. And he's real old-fashioned because he was old-fashioned before you ever came along. But his old-fashioned, you're going to have to go live with one day. And one of the worst things to do is Christians will get to heaven and found out they never lived for God. They never lived for God. They lived the American Christian culture. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. You know, there's one thing as I've found is look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul went to different cultures and preached. And you know what? He's just the same. He never preached another Jesus in another place. He never preached their culture. Now, I did get him stoned a few times, beat with rods, and got him whipped and got him things. Well, you think people were just excited to hear, weren't they? Oh, my. How can we be relevant today? I want to be relevant, you know? Being relevant has really helped, hasn't it? America's gone a long way on being relevant. And I just love the church today falling for all of this here racism stuff. And now all these ministers are jumping on the race, so they have to have their message. See, you know what? We got to let people know that we care. So they got to have their sermon on it. Ugly, devilish people are going to live like hell. There's my sermon on it. Okay, there it is. So we just got that one done. Okay, now that we got that out of the way, let's go to the Bible. Dear Lord, hallelujah. Yep, all you crazy white people, you're all racists. Yeah, okay. Yep, and there's not a black person that's racist. There's polls and stuff that were done in the, right, like say around from the areas of about 2003 up into the 2010 area. There were polls that were done back then and some about racism in America. You know who voted that was the most racist group in America by blacks? Blacks. That's who they polled, and the blacks, polling the blacks said that black people were the most racist. It was like close to 60% of blacks said blacks are the most racist. You don't notice that poll today, do you? That one isn't around, is it? We don't want to have that one. Literally. I heard a big name minister, a black minister on TV once say this some years ago. He said, black people can't be racist. That's what he said. I'll tell you who said it, Fred Price. I thought, Fred, you're as dumb as the day is long. The devil's done sold you. He said, black people can't be racist. I mean, I heard him in my own voice listening to him. I thought, what on planet are you coming from? See, this special group, they can't be racist. See, the doctrines of devils have been in the church for years. They in and people, you listen to them. See, nothing but preaching. We have this certain group, but they can't be racist. There is no such thing as a group that ain't racist. Everybody has wrong prejudices about things and all kind of stuff. Things go on and people, you know, and that's the way it is. People have it. You know, I decided this a long time. See, you know what? When I went into the army, I found out, you know, concerning racism. Everybody had it, and it was among everybody in every group, you know. And, you know, when I got in, you know, when I was Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, I had a good black friend and a good Spanish friend, and we hung around together all the time, the three of us. And so the blacks didn't like us. The Puerto Ricans didn't like us, and the whites didn't like us because we hung around. we got hammered from all three of them. You know, people would make remarks about us three. What are they? A guy said to me, what are you hanging around with them for? I said, they're nicer than you. I hang around with them. What do you hang around with those guys? They got the same thing all the time. And see, I found out, you know, I learned things. The black guy I was really good friends with, he had told me some things about, he said, now there's blacks. He said, among the blacks, and he told me this himself. He said, there's a lot of prejudice among blacks. He said, because some blacks, if you're not black enough than the other ones. And he started naming off this and that. And I started, and I noticed something going on. If a black guy really did well and started getting promoted up through, a lot of the blacks didn't like him. They didn't like that he was getting promoted, he was doing well. They didn't like that. Well, you'll find that even in other groups. They don't like that. They don't like people getting, you know. I found out like when I worked at Reese's, sometimes people didn't like people getting promoted. And they just, you know, like, well, they don't like the boss. No, they didn't. They were jealous of people getting promoted and they didn't like them. They don't like people. You know, Christians are like this all the time, especially the spirit-filled Christians. They get upset when they see somebody getting blessed and somebody that they don't think should be getting blessed and that stuff. And they get sort of upset that this one's over here getting blessed. They don't like it. You know, I don't care if a guy ain't living right and he's getting blessed. I ain't knocking getting blessed. I ain't knocking getting blessed. If you're dumb enough to do that, you're kicking yourself. I mean, you're just doing something dumb to yourself. I'm totally convinced of this. I think God promotes some people sometime just to see how everybody else is going to act. And I'm serious. I'm serious about that. Because you're going to find out about yourself when things ain't going right. The church is finding out about itself today. And it shouldn't like what it sees. See, we find out about ourselves. When these things happen, we find out about. You don't find out about yourself when everything's going great. It's under pressure. It's when the squeeze. No toothpaste comes out of my toothpaste tube till I squeeze it. And you know what? The ugly in you don't come out till you're squeezed. The good, the really good in you don't come out till you're squeezed. You know, sometimes it can really be a benefit things happen because then what's really in you can come out to bring blessing. But no, we don't like that. We want this tiptoe through the tulips Christianity, everything just going nice. That's what we want. But that's not how it works. We want gifts of the Spirit in manifestation without problems. The whole purpose of them is when there are problems, they manifest.
Dear God, we're so nutty and so flaky and stupid. What are we waiting for? Say, this would be a good time. No, we just need a move. We need something, you know. We need a rock to come out of heaven, smack us on the head to wake us up, you know. Oh, I was going to be nice, honest. Hallelujah. But see, we need an awakening in the church world. We do. We don't understand where we're at. Hallelujah. Reproof, correction. Now, he went on here, and that's another thing that this is really good for. It is the word is good for this. It says, for instruction in righteousness. Now, we know this. The Bible tells us when we get born again, we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that's wonderful. That's great. But you need instruction in righteousness. You need to be instructed. Because it doesn't matter if you're the righteousness of Christ Jesus. In this life, you must be able to live that righteousness. Doesn't matter how righteous you are. If you live unrighteous, you destroy your righteousness. In the eyes of people, you're a nothing. This is many Christians, you can't tell the difference between them and the world because they live unrighteous lives. So they're just like the world. They live the righteousness that the world lives in. They do what the world does. They live, you know, they're considered nice people. But righteousness. So one thing, instruction, in other words, the word instruction there, it just means that education, training, discipline, correction, chastening. The other word also means to chastise. This is from the Strong's. This is chastisement. This is what instruction is. You've heard me talk about this a lot. This is one of the things is why there's no way that American schools can put out good people. It can't do it because there's no chastening. There's none of that. When you come to instruction, it's all giving information. That's all it is. The training days are gone. They don't train people, you know. You know, you want to get a dog to listen to you? You can sit and talk all you want. And that dog will look at you and just go do whatever it wants. That dog's going to have to be trained. You tell a dog to sit, you're going to push his rear end down. He ain't going to just sit down the first time just because you said you wanted him to sit sometime. You're going to have to do things. You're going to have to chasten that dog. You know what? People are the same way. You know what? If people didn't chasten a kid, you know what he's going to be like? Yeah, right, he's going to be worse than a dog. That's why people love their dogs so much, because they hate their kids. They don't chasten them. They're not giving, really, there's no education. Education isn't adding, subtracting, and multiplying, dividing. Haven't you noticed? We don't even have to know how to do that. We got calculators and everything else to do that for us. Kids go to school, don't even have to know how to do that anymore. We hand them a calculator to do it. I went to school, when we had to do calculus, we had to write it out. We actually knew how to do it. We knew how to do the problems. But we were old-fashioned, you know, that stuff. Today, they're much brighter. You take the average person's phone and their electronics from them, and you know what they are? That's what they are. They can't do a darn thing. They don't know how to do nothing. You walk into a store, the cash register don't work, and they can't even give you change. Yeah, a person standing on the other side there can't even give you change. Dumb as a stick. Well, most, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't talk about trees that way. Trees are smarter. We'll have to pick up the saying as dumb as a person. But people don't know how to do it. I mean, can't give change. Shut a store down because, you know, what do? We can't sell anything. Nobody knows what to do. Why? Because we put the thing through, it takes it off of inventory. Because nobody can know, we can't write down with a pencil anything. They can't do anything. They can't. Everything stops. Nobody knows how to do anything. Just think about that. I want to tell you, don't be surprised this happens. Don't be surprised this takes place. There's one thing that's been just concerning me. See, everybody today, we got all this, put everything, you know, on the cloud.
I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't be surprised if the cloud blows up one day and people and businesses and that stuff are going to have nothing and things are going under. We don't keep our information. People have their backups and their computers all on the cloud. What happens if the internet goes down? You can't get any of your information. Do you know that? Do you know there's major companies today? Major companies. Our defense departments in our nation. If the cloud goes down, they're down. I'll guarantee you the devil's working on that one. We got people working. I'm going to tell you, China and Russia, they're working. The United States works on it with their countries too. Trying to take things down. Trying to take stuff down. We're upset that Russia has satellites up there that have weapons on to take our satellites out. Well, big deal. I'll guarantee you we don't have none. No. No. We have satellites handing lollipops out up there. Dear Lord. I just really get a kick out of that. Wow. Look what the Russians are doing. It's like the United States is that we don't have satellites over there. That's when we send that thing up. It stays over a year up there circling around that little aircraft job that circles around space. It's up there, you know, doing, singing gospel messages and transmitting them to the earth. I just, dear God. Hallelujah. Well, instruction in righteousness. And righteousness. Righteousness is this, acting in according with divine or moral law. Righteousness is also, it can mean to be free from guilt and sin, but to be morally right and justified. But that action, acting in line with divine law. So in other words, the word of God is for those. See, if we want the wisdom, we need to understand these things. When Apostle Paul wrote these to Timothy, he's writing to the church. This is the wisdom of God. See, the church needs the wisdom of God, how to act and live right. We've lost that. We've lost that in our nation. We shouldn't. The church should be the bastion of right living and moral law. And we should be. We should be setting a standard, and we're not. Instead, the church world today is opening up, you know, well, they can be any perverted thing in the world. You can be a minister. It don't matter anymore. You know, we have the laws changed concerning church. Now we can have, you know, the satanic churches can get the same thing through the government as, you know, we accept anything as being a church today, anything. The word church don't even mean anything to our nation anymore. It doesn't mean anything to the leaders of our nation. It means nothing. There's many of the leaders that we got because they're passing laws of this stuff. They don't get passed because the minority is doing it. You need to understand that. The majority want it. So we're sitting today, and this is what we need to understand. And this is why with wisdom, I want you to turn over to Proverbs, to the first chapter, because I said last week we're going to read a thing. We want to read through here in Proverbs because in the opening of Proverbs tells us something. And it lets us know today. We need to know as Christians. We're here. See, you have a desire. And you're here because you want the knowledge of God. You want God's wisdom. That's why you're here. But you need to understand, you're not the norm. You're not the norm today. You can't judge people from the standpoint of expecting out of them what you're doing. The person who calls themselves a Christian and never goes to church or never does anything, you're not even on the same playing field today. You're not even it's sort of like the difference between, you know, the Pee Wee League and, you know, the major leagues. I mean, they ain't even the two same baseball games, you know. One of them are putting a ball on a stick and standing it there and walking up and taking a swing at it. The other guys are trying to hit a 100-mile-an-hour ball coming at you. Well, this is the majority of the church is setting the ball on the stick and they can't even hit it. Do you ever watch your kids do that and swing out? They can't hit it. They hit the stick. They hit everything. Well, they're out there. That is most of the church world today. That's where they are spiritually. And you could need to, in America. And here's, you gotta get this. People who are not born again are not spiritual at all. According to scripture, spirituality is only if you belong to God or born again. That you're spiritual. You are not spiritual if you are not born again. You are carnal.
because your flesh will be what does dominates. So we should expect the people who are not saved, they are going to follow their flesh. And they have never been trained from the time that they were young, and they even went to school and they were taught rebellion. They were taught, they went to college and were taught rebellion. That's what they're taught in. They're taught in how to let the flesh, I want what I want when I want it. This is what you're living in. So this is why we're sitting around saying, well, you know, Bob, this stuff out here, this is crazy, what's going on? No, this isn't, we're seeing the way things normally are. Now we're seeing the extremes of the two. We're seeing them. When I look at what they're doing, it don't surprise me. We have been training people for years to be as fleshly as possible. We've been training them for years to do this. We've been sending kids to school and training them to rebel against their parents, to not listen to their parents. We've been training them that the educators know best. That you're just some dumb stick. You can't figure this thing out. You're not bright enough. We're paying people, you know, paying. Then that isn't good enough. Your tax money went that. Then you go spend your personal money to go to college to be taught a higher level of it. I just can't believe it. These courses and stuff that are taught in colleges today, the things that we're spending money. I mean, if you wanted to learn what they're learning, I could get in a free at a bar and drink while I'm doing it. Why would the earth would you be paying some moron to stand in front of you to talk stupid about stuff? They were more intelligent in the bar. It's like, dear God. I mean, go to college, colleges having sex fairs. It's like people don't know how to let their flesh go. They need to be taught how to do it. I mean, dear God. I mean, our taxes go to Penn State so they can have sex fairs. It's like, what? Who ever heard of that? You know, a sex fair.
Oh, you're so stupid. I don't know what to. Maybe you could tell me. How could I act more filthy? Could you? Maybe could.
It's like, these are our college kids.
Yeah. Tell me what the perverts do.
Yeah. And back into Proverbs again. All right, we're back into Proverbs. Hey, we just need to be blunt about these things. You know, the church has been tried to be so diplomatic and talk to people like they're intelligent. We have knocked that off. There ain't nobody hardly intelligent out there, so just realize that. We're wasting our time trying to talk to people. Have you noticed there's such a low intelligence out there? You got to tell people. You got to talk to people. That's what I do anymore. I just say to people, right where it's at. And you know what? They don't get astounded. Why? Because that's what they do to each other all the time. But see, they come to church and they expect fairyland. And that's what they usually get, fairyland. Say a lot of sweet things, but I'm going to hell. And the church will oblige them. Now, I want to do an opening here and want to look at this in reading a scripture here, because we want to look at, because one of the things we have is wisdom is very demanding. Wisdom is demanding. And you need to understand, if you want wisdom, wisdom is highly demanding. Highly demanding. And we're going to find out from scripture. Because we're going to read here in the first chapter. And this is one of the things that you need to understand closely. When we have Solomon, who was at that time considered the wisest man on the earth, and he wrote about wisdom, is number one, people should have read a whole lot more about the first chapter, because then you know you could waste your time with the rest of the wisdom if you don't obey the understanding what the first chapter is telling you. Because the first chapter is telling you what wisdom expects of you. Wisdom expects a lot out of you. Wisdom. But you know what? If you're going to follow the wisdom of God, you can do it. You can walk in it. Solomon, being a non-born again man, God gave him all that wisdom. We can have wisdom and we want to walk in it. So Solomon wrote these words in the beginning. Now in Proverbs, it starts off with the first chapter. I want to go start at verse 20 today. It says this, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. It says, she cries out in the chief concourses at the opening of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. Now, we need to see this about wisdom. Wisdom's everywhere. God's everywhere. Wisdom is everywhere, and wisdom is talking. Wisdom speaking. It's like I was talking before. People go along and do things that don't work, but just keep doing it. See, wisdom's telling them this ain't working, but people just blindly walk past it and just go on and on and on. Wisdom's talking the whole time, telling them it ain't working. They can see it's not working. Yet they avoid that wisdom, and they just keep going along and going along and going along. And I see it in the church world. You know, I've watched people in the church world, you know, do that. They're going on, nothing's working. Well, you just keep trusting God. Oh, you just keep, the ministers keep saying, is this trust God? Hold it. This thing ain't working. I have never had a time where I'm trusting God where things don't start to work. That nothing doesn't change for years on end. I have never had that. Gee, am I special? Now, I've gone on periods of times and things hadn't worked and I found out I needed to make a change. There's something I needed to change to get things in line. But see, you come to that. See, wisdom's talking, and I learned that. I learned way back when I was young. Wisdom's talking. Wisdom's saying something, but people ignore. Well, just keep trusting. What do you mean, just keep trusting? I'm walking this way. Is there something I'm missing? Like I told you, you know, folks, before, I used the example, you know, when I went in and had the blood clot, the first thing I wanted to find out, did I miss it somewhere? This go? What do I need to know? See, I don't want this to keep going on. Most people are all making their little confessions about getting well right away and everything. And that's where they just get focused on. I learned a long time ago, that ain't you want to make sure that you haven't missed it anywhere. That should be in your vocabulary too. Lord, if there's anything I need to know in this, you show me. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll do it. If I've missed it somewhere, I'll change whatever it is. I'll do what I need to do. I need to know that. So you're going to have to stop. People don't do it. We just got this old just jump on it, this McDonald's Christianity. Just start making a confession, get out there and do this, and it's going to change. And we're down the road and it never changed and nothing ever works. And we're just running on down the road talking about a faith life that don't exist. Let's find out. See, this is wisdom. Wisdom's calling out all the time. Listen to that. So wisdom's everywhere. She's where you go out, in, out and come in. She's with, wisdom's around. When you go out, there's wisdom. When you're coming in, there's wisdom. Wisdom's out where every place you go. Wisdom's there. We just found the scripture. It's there. Wisdom. What depends a lot is on your hearing. It's our hearing. You know, I went on to things that sometimes I found out that I had gone for long periods of time where God was trying to get certain things across to me. He wasn't getting it across to me. I found out sometimes there was things that went for years that I then all of a sudden realized when I finally got it, I thought, you know, God's been trying to give me that revelation for a long time. But every time that thing came, I just sort of, there was something else. I let it go, but God was trying to bring that revelation to me. God was trying to do that. It had nothing to do with God. It was about Ed and his hearing. See, what do you put as important to hear? There's things that people don't want to hear. There's things that you'll think is a devil. There's things I thought was a devil. God was trying to get across to me, and I thought, well, that couldn't be God. It was God the whole time. But see, it didn't line up with my thinking. See, we need to be careful because wisdom is out there trying to get a hold of us. Now, let's say this is going in. Did you notice when Solomon deals with wisdom, wisdom is a she? Did you ever notice he uses that term as wisdom as being a she? Now, it isn't, wisdom itself isn't male or female, but he uses that, and which is a good analogy for about wisdom because it's portrayed as a woman. Just like with a woman, you can't neglect or ignore or abuse her or treat her, you know, in anywhere and take unfair advantage of her, and still enjoy her favors.
And you need to know, wisdom is just like that. That's what he's trying to get across to us. Is in the same way. You can't abuse wisdom. You can't turn around. You can't turn around and let it go and let it go. Wisdom will go to the point it won't talk to you anymore. You can learn to shut wisdom off where it won't speak. We're going to find out it's biblical. We'll talk about this. So see, if you want wisdom to show its favor to you, you got to love wisdom in the same way that Paul said that a man is supposed to love his wife like Christ loves the church. You got to love the wisdom in the same manner. You got to love wisdom. You got to learn to love wisdom. See, we take concern the Word of God and what it says. It's something nice when I'm having a problem, but it isn't something we're in love with. You got to get to where you're in love with it. This is one of the things that, see, wisdom doesn't reveal itself. We've all heard the saying, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. I want you to know this. Wisdom is no exception to that rule. Because now we're going to go on, we're going to read about wisdom. We're going to read about it, what it says. And this is in the opening of going into the study of wisdom, where Solomon's going to turn around and start revealing wisdom. And he puts this in the first chapter, which would be good to remember, because reading the rest of it, we treat wisdom and we treat the book of Proverbs like a fortune cookie. You pull this thing out and you read it. I got this. Look what it said. Isn't that cool? The Bible says that. You know that is. I was in the Bible. That was it. Isn't that neat? Okay, eat the cookie and throw the thing away. That's what we do. And the church don't grow in wisdom. People don't grow in wisdom. Because we don't understand. Now listen to this. Verse 22. How long, you simple one? How long, you simple ones? Actually, now, because it goes on, it says, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in the scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Now, actually, that word simple should be the word fool, because that's what we're talking about. Up there in the beginning, when he said, you simple ones, actually, it's the word fool. And then down where it says there, the word fool, he says, those who delight in scorning and fools hate, actually that word is the word stupid. So when it comes down to knowledge, we have what here, people are either called fools or stupid. A lot of people fall in those categories. See, that's why I don't know why when they translate the Bible, I wish they always talk about their literal translations, and loads of them ain't literal at all. They're too kind. They want to make you feel good when you're stupid. They shouldn't do that. They should put it right where it's at, like God said it. Here we got the guy who we call the smartest guy in the age. He's the guy with all the wisdom. He said they're stupid, but we don't want to use that word. That's not a nice word to use. You shouldn't call people stupid. I've heard Christians say that. Say, why? God did. But they got their little translations of the Bible. It says cute. Because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. See, God wasn't as emotional about your feelings as you are. Hallelujah. Good preaching anyhow. Now listen what he says, verse 23. This is wisdom talking. He says, turn at my rebuke. Turn at my rebuke. You're supposed to turn at it. He says, surely, now look what he says, turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my word known to you. Why? If you turn from my rebuke. So there's something that we have to do. See, it's not, many times people are asking God for wisdom. God gives it liberally, but what happens? People are doing things wrong and they won't turn from it. They walk around and say, I don't understand God. I ain't getting any wisdom. I don't understand. Are you walking in the light of what you know, or are you just walking stupid and want to continue stupid and get wisdom? What's the point of having wisdom if you're going to follow stupid? If you're not going to turn, I've learned like a lot of, it's just like when I was in the hospital sitting at emergency room, sitting on a table, and I just sitting there and I said, Lord, there's something you want me to do or change. I said, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Well, you know, if I need to change, I'm here. I'm for the changing. I have enough sense to know. You just can't keep going. If there's something that isn't right, you're going to have to turn that around. Why? You reap what you sow. I just don't get that the church people don't get this lots of times. They don't. We bypass these things. You can't, you know, if I have to make a change, let's make a change. You know, because I'm wasting my time trying to do it any other way. It ain't going to work. Because this is how wisdom works. Now listen, when he goes on to say this. Now here's where all the pretty stuff starts. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, just because of that, he said, because you disdained all my counsel and you would have none of my rebuke. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. We talked about this word. I'm going to mock. When your terror comes, I'm going to mock you. You know, this morning, Eileen was up there reading, you know, Proverbs. I was reading about wisdom. Do you know who wisdom is? Wisdom's a person. It's Jesus. He's the creator, the one from the beginning. We can read this and say, Jesus will mock you. You don't listen, he'll mock you. Well, that don't sound like love to me. I just my Bible says God's love and everybody gets to go to heaven and everybody, I don't understand that. You're preaching false doctrine. He said, in other words, your calamity comes, I'm going to laugh. You won't listen. I'm going to laugh. Wisdom, now, he says, when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. You see, they're not the scriptures we want to put in the Bible today. They're not the ones that we want to have. No matter what you do, God will always respond. Will always respond. He'll always respond to you. Yes, he will. He'll always. No, he won't. We just have here. He won't. That's what the Lord, when he told Randall Greer back when Obama was first in his first term, the Lord told him, he said, you tell the people they're going to have 2 Samuel, the 8th chapter. You go over there and read, and it says there that they'll call on me and I won't answer. We ended up 2 terms. People called and prayed, but God wasn't going to turn about it. He was going to let the nation suffer in what they did. And you know what? We didn't learn from Obama, and we're doing it today. We didn't learn. And wisdom's mocking our nation today. Wisdom is making fun of our nation today. Now, you don't hear that preached. They got all these ones that gave all these all nice things and their nice little prophecies that ain't coming to pass, that ain't happening, you know. Yeah. Yeah, you know, guys back in, when this first started back in May. Yeah, it's going to turn around in May. Yes, it's going to turn around in May. And it's going to, yeah, it turned around, didn't it? Things really turned good, didn't he? He heard from God. God showed up with him in a vision, in a dream. Yes. It's probably a pizza dream. I've had a few of those already. Have you had one? I've had some pizza dreams already. I knew when I heard it, it wasn't. I knew it was God. I said, this ain't so. But see, we want to, you know, we got prophets today, they're talking, they're just like the prophets in Jeremiah's day. The prophets are on, everything's working out fine, it's going to be great, we're turning everything around and that stuff. Yeah. We don't even have to repent. God's just going to turn it around. We're just going to keep on our same direction here and it's just going to work. No, it's not. That ain't the way things go. My Bible says different stuff. I don't know. You see, we need to use wisdom if we want to turn things around. This isn't about God just up and flipping a switch and turning things around. We're going to have to turn some things around. And that's why there always needs to be a remnant of people who are going to stand up and do something to turn something around. But let me ask, I'll just say this to you. Things can go so far that even a remnant can't turn it around. We need to understand that. We're in the place, people, where we should be calling God to have mercy and have mercy on us, have mercy on the church, because the church has failed miserably, has failed miserably in America. Miserably. It has opened the door to a lot of things, and this is why we sit down and look at these things, and there must be wisdom used. And that's why, if anything I want to hear, I want to hear what God's saying. What do I need to do? I don't want to hear another one of these prophets. Oh, everything's going to turn around and go out. We're all going to be doing great. We're all going to be driving Rolls Royces and Mercedes. And we're just going to, you know, it's all going to be just going to, it's really going to be good. We're having this. Where were all the visions and that stuff that we should have had coming into this thing? God does nothing in this earth without showing his prophets. And we have a lot of lying prophets. We've had a lot of lying prophets. To entering into this year, they lied and they lied and they lied. They spoke the visions of men. People don't like to hear that. That's too bad. God doesn't do anything in the earth without showing his people. We're his church. He wants us to know. I'm just going to encourage you to do this. You hear from God. Don't wait and wait for some other minister or some other person. You hear God will talk to you, because too many are not paying any attention to God. Too many ministers are trying to say things. They have been used to this thing of saying what people like to hear and things working out for them. And now it ain't. You hear from God. God will talk to you. He wants to tell you. He wants you prepared. I'll tell you, a bunch of them are in trouble. They're in trouble. God wants you to know. God wants to show you. He wants you to be prepared. He'll prepare you and he'll take you through. He'll show you what to do and how to live during this time and what you need to do. And you can succeed. He'll show you what to do. And we need to come over to that place where we begin to walk. Quit depending so much. I tell you, there's too many. There's too many that's been too undependable. And they've been undependable for a long time. Could depend on them. Don't just give me a flowery message. I want to hear, if I need to hear Ed, you know, get straight, do this, then I need to hear that. Tell me that. Whatever it takes, I want to hear it. Don't tell me something else, you know. If Jeremiah stands up, Jeremiah tell me. Jeremiah tells me, you know, you need to just take the ride to Babylon and keep your mouth shut. Well, then we'll go to Babylon and shut our mouth. But we ain't going to oppose it. There's too much opposition against God. What God wants to do. And God has wanted to, he's doing things. I know here in this church, he's been preparing us in the Word. Is to follow the Word, follow the Word, follow the Word, follow the Word. Do what the Word says. Because if you follow the Word, God will talk to you. God will reveal to you. Hallelujah. You don't just show things to somebody just because he stands in the office of a prophet. From the time I was first born again through, God has shown me things. I have known stuff years in advance. There's things that I've knew about the move of God in the last days that there's guys and big name ministers and didn't even know about it till just a few years ago. And I have known it for years and years. Why? God showed it to me. Why did he show me? I don't know. But I must have just been asking in the right things to some things and areas and searching certain things. And God showed it to me. I know, like Randall Greer. I mean, he stands in the prophet's ministry. A few years ago, he got up and he talked to, was teaching a thing about Elijah the prophet. And he got up and he preached an exact message that I preached in 1971. An exact message of a revelation I got one night sitting on my sofa at home. And the Spirit of the Lord said, I'm going to show you what's going to happen in the last days. And he went and showed me and showed it to me through Elijah and what happened to him in Mount Carmel and showed me. And gave me an illustration of what's going to take place in the last day. Now I have 1971. And Randall Greer got that revelation just a few years ago. The Lord told him and showed that to him. And I'm sitting there listening to his message. I thought, isn't that interesting? In 1971, the Lord showed that one to me. The exact same thing. And I'm just minding my own business, sitting on my... but, you know, so... God can surely show you when he gives you a revelation, couldn't he? Can't he show you something? Does it have to go to some? Do you have to go to the next prophet's meeting to hear something? These people do that. I tell you, they're putting a demand on the prophet's ministry they should not be going to. We should be going to meetings to hear the word of God and not to hear a prophecy. We want to show. I'm not interested in half what these prophets got to say. Because what we're doing, we're getting people that feel that they need to prophesy and say something. Because that's what people want. And you know what happens? They get yielded to wrong spirits, and spirits say stuff through them. Just because you're Christian. Kenneth Hagin said this concerning the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. He said, and this is back in the 1980s. We're in the middle of a move of God. Kenneth Hagin said this. I heard him with his own voice. He said, most of the ministers operating on the word of knowledge are operating under familiar spirits. And nobody pays no attention to that stuff at all. They don't pay a bit of attention to it. See, I don't feel any pressure to perform for you. I don't much care if you like it or not. Let me say this to you about the anointing comes on me. Now I'm as human as anybody else. But I've learned to do this. See, this is one thing is you need to learn. If you want the anointing on you, you know, the anointing may would probably operate on you a lot more than what you'd realize. If you learn to do this, I learned this over the years about the anointing. When I operate in the anointing and I do things, I don't even think about it when I go home. Because when the anointing lifts, you start questioning everything you did. And you start sitting around, well, maybe I should. When you're there and you know God's talking through you and saying something, and you know he is, and you go home, and the anointing's not there. Boy, should I have said that? Should I have said, you start doing all that stuff. See, you'll start questioning. See, you operate under the anointing. Now you want it to make sense with your mind after the anointing leaves. And what happens? You put yourself in fear to get up and talk the next time, and you'll get to the point where the anointing won't come on you anymore. Because your fears will keep it off. And I learned, if I want to keep the anointing, I ask the Lord, Lord, if you want to show me something about it, you show me. But I'm not going to sit and dwell and think about that. I'm not going to think about whether people liked it or not. I'm not going to think about that. I'm not letting that on my mind. See, whether you say I did good or didn't do good, neither one has any bearing on whether I'm going to do it again or not. It doesn't have a bit of bearing on. You have to do that, or you'll quit talking for God. You'll start talking for people. So they'll come and say, that was wrong. Not, you know, that's what needed to be said. I got corrected today, you know. I've had that said to me maybe once or twice since I've been preaching. I really needed corrected today, and I want to thank you for that. They don't come and say that to you. They'll come and say, boy, I wish so-and-so was here. They need to hear that. And I think, yeah, you need to hear it the most. And you missed it completely, thinking it was them. When it was you the whole time that needed it. And you went and threw wisdom out, and now wisdom won't talk to you. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. He's still meddling. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we went on. Let's read the rest of this down the end of the chapter. It says, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, because people, they would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat what? The fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fantasies. In other words, they're going to reap what they sow. Well, we know that principle stands. Paul tells us in Philippians, we know that that principle stands. We shouldn't be surprised. We know that's so in the New Testament. He said, for the turning of the way of the simple, or there we go, the stupid, for the turning away of the simple will slay them. And the complacency of fools will destroy them. Do you know what complacency is? Complacency is being content when really danger is coming. That's what being complacent. A complacent person is a person who feels at peace and rest and disaster is about to fall on their head. And they're ignoring it. That's complacency.
You look it up in a dictionary. That's basically what it is. Something bad's coming, but a person's at press peace and not paying attention to it. And we have here what? Complacencies of fools will destroy them. You know, if you take the church in the book of Revelation, they're sitting there, everything really looks good and looks nice. Jesus said, boy, it looks like you guys are good. You got everything going. Boy, it really looks nice. I'm standing at the door knocking. They don't realize disaster is at the door. They don't see it. They think because everything's working around them nicely, they're looking at all the natural, all the natural. You know, we're doing good. We got money. We got this. We have a nice place. We do this stuff. Everything's good. Everything's good. And not paying attention to what's happening around them. That's what America did. America wasn't paying attention. The church wasn't paying attention to what was going on around them. And it's been going around them for years. And they're sitting in complacency. Big bank accounts. All this stuff they're doing. All these sitting in complacency. They don't even see the disaster coming down the road. Wisdom has been talking about this for a long time. Wisdom's been talking about this stuff for a long time. You're going to reap what you sow. We can't keep sowing to the flesh and just overlook. We'll make right confessions. That'll change. You can sow the flesh and make a right confession. Yeah, it's going to. No, it won't. But you don't have to worry. You know, just like the children of Israel, they had to go back out in the wilderness for 40 years. We might have to take a little trip around the block here. But I'm going to tell you, if we follow the word, folks. Now, listen, here's the last verse. All this stuff is said, and look at the last verse. This is ours. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Evil's coming. Evil's here. It's here. And I ain't afraid of no ghost. I ain't afraid. We don't have to have fear. We don't have to be afraid. What does it say? This is what wisdom says. Wisdom says, but whoever listens to me will dwell safely. If you listen to wisdom, you will dwell safely. Hallelujah. See, listen. All that thing was said to the people who don't pay attention. And one verse fixes it all for the people listening. We don't need a big discourse. The discourse to the people that are paying attention. Now remember we talk about wisdom has two hands. What was the one hand? On the right hand of wisdom is long life. So you're dealing with health, soundness. On its left hand was riches and honor. So what can we expect? Just relax. Just relax. If you're listening to wisdom, don't be afraid. Don't worry. The country's doing crazy things, giving away money like it's candy. You know, we're just going to dump all this money out here. I tell you, we got them printing presses. They are running, man. We are printing dollars that are worth minus 47 cents. And we're printing them seconds out, and we're going to give it to you so you can go buy nothing. And then we're going to do it. But don't you worry. We're going to prosper. Wisdom's got something in its hand. If you'll follow wisdom, you don't have to go after the health. You don't have to go after the wealth. What you need to go after is wisdom. Follow wisdom. Follow what the word says. Look at what the word says and follow it. Look at what the word says. Do what the word says. And what? Wisdom will take care of itself. It will take care of us. It's designed to. If there's anything you lack, you go along and that stuff is with me. I question God and I ask God, is there anything that I need to know? Is there something that I don't know that I need to know? What is it I really need to know? I want to tell you what I've watched this over the years. Christians wasting their time studying subjects that they don't personally, it's nothing wrong with the subject. What it's wrong with, it's not what they need at the time. I see Christians with messed up lives and they're over there on the money kick when they need to get their health straightened out. They're over on this kick or that kick. They don't even know what they need. What do you need? Sometimes dealing with the future, you know, is knowing what to do coming ahead. You know, I've really been spending time over the last couple of years of what to teach. I want to know what I need to be talking and what I need to be saying. Why? Because when, you know what? You don't want one of these pansy preachers when hard time comes. You don't want the fruitcake. Why? Because he can't make it work. How's he going to help you make it work? But did you know that God has had us the Word. Stand with the Word. Look at the, find out what the Word says. You look at the Word. The Word will sustain you. The Word is what's going to hold you. Why? Because when bad times come, that's what upholds us. When our doctrine is sound and when bad time comes, we don't have to worry. If I'm out here doing my best, trying to follow wisdom, if I miss it somewhere, wisdom will show me what to do. If I'm not rejecting them, wisdom, God will continue to reveal himself. He'll keep us in line. This stuff here started going on, and I watch people start wavering. People start, you know, well, what you normally do. They start changing what they're doing. Man, I ain't changing. There's a course to walk in the Word of God, and I'm going to stay the same with it. I'm not going to view giving in a different way. I'm not going to start hoarding. Well, you don't know, you know. Well, what if they ruin our economy and what they're doing? I'm sorry, they ain't ruining Ed's economy. They're going to ruin yours for talking about it and thinking if you're talking that kind of thing. You know, they're not going to do that. I'm going to stay and follow God. I'm going to follow God. He is obligated to bless me. If I follow wisdom, then wisdom doesn't give what's in his hand. Well, it wasn't wisdom. But it's wisdom. Joshua and Caleb didn't limp in the land. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, you know what they ended up being? Leaders going into the land. And we need leaders in the church. There's hardly a one of them today. Compared to what they call church, there's hardly any leaders. Everybody's waiting around for somebody to go somewhere. Man, I'm going to tell you, be a leader. Just go somewhere. Don't wait till you get a crowd. You follow the truth whether anybody else follows the truth or not. Hallelujah. Anybody that got any sense sees you getting blessed. If they had any sense, they'd be following wisdom. We're waiting for people to follow. There ain't nobody for them to follow because everybody wants to be a follower of somebody else. Hallelujah. I'm like Paul. Follow me as I follow Christ. Hallelujah. I'm going somewhere. We should be like as a church. You know, be the leader to follow God. Just keep doing what's right and walk with it. I tell you, it pays off and people see it. You know. I've been told over the years what an idiot I am and what an nut I am and the things that I believe and I'm extreme. But you know what? Those people, when then things go wrong, they give Ed a call. They don't call one of them other knuckleheads that they say are so right that they love they gave all their money to. And then they want free advice. And I say to them, why'd you call me? Remember that I was a guy that you said was an idiot. Remember that? Well, why are you calling? I ask them right out. Why? I'm not trying to be mean to them. If they don't repent of what they do, and see, this is what they do. This is why people, they ignored wisdom, and then they just think you can just walk back and just take it without repentance and turn back. They don't. Well, God is so forgiving. Yeah, if you admit you blew it, they don't want to admit they blew it. They don't admit they blew it. You know, I just decide I want something. But you know what? Yeah, I get something from you. I'm just going back with the knuckleheads where I won. And that's what they always do. They always go back to the same knuckleheads they were with before. They always do. Why? Because they're as stupid as they are and stupid like stupid. Loads of people don't want to get smart. They have no idea. They have no intent of getting smart. They're looking for stupid to hang out with because I feel comfortable with stupid. Because it might require... Why? To get smart, it's going to require something of you. To get wisdom, it requires something. And I don't want to do that. I want a life of ease. I want the Christianity where I sit back and I don't do anything. And I just go hear a couple messages and all that stuff. And then I just... Everything works out. And I call the prayer chain. And I do. I just call some ministry to pray for me. And I just do that kind of stuff. And we just do those things. And then I don't have to do all this other stuff. I don't have to find out about God myself. I'll just wait till the newest book comes out. And this guy prints his newest... I'll just wait, you know, if I want to find out about next year, I'll just wait to hear what different ministers are saying. Oh, God. I've been so disappointed over the years what ministers have said. I just... Number one, I want to know what God, what are you saying? What are you saying about me? What about me going, you know? Always looking for what somebody else is going to say about this year. And we come up with the next cliche for the year. This was the year. This is 2020. 2020 vision. Yeah. The white cane prophets were calling it the year of 2020. Did it turn out to 2020? Was that what? Did any of it turn out so far like that? Was it a 2020 vision? No. They didn't even see it coming. In January, Randall Greer said about it, he said, I'm here, and I was sitting in a meeting. He said, all these guys are coming up with all this stuff, and they're saying all this 2020 year, 2020 vision, and blah, 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 they're saying all this. He said, I would hope that they'd be right, but he said, God ain't telling me that. He said, they're talking about this. He said, that really sounds nice. He said, I like that, but he said, that ain't the message God told me. He didn't say it was going to be like that. He said, I think they're going to be disappointed. He was right. He was exactly right. Now, how many of them have you heard repent and say, you know, we blew that? How many? Because why this? They have missed it numbers of times, and they never repent and say, we blew it. I want to tell you, I'd listen to them more if they did that, but I won't listen to them anymore because they will never say when they miss it. Man, I miss it at times. Have you ever missed it? What's wrong with saying you miss it? I heard a minister say this. A big name minister said this years ago. I never listened to him since because I figured he's too dangerous to listen to. He said, now he was dealing with ministers, talking to us ministers, and he said this, don't ever admit you make a mistake. He said, because he said, then the people won't follow you. And I said, that's the end. I'll never listen to him again. Loads of people follow. Loads of ministries have followed. I said, man, I can't, that having that kind of a spirit, I can't be listening to that. Don't admit that you made a mistake. I guess he must have not read 1 John 1:9. I don't know. But he's a big name tongue talker and everything else, and everybody thinks was so wonderful, and I stay away from his ministry. I mean, he's out there beyond me, Ed Gibson. I don't want anybody to think that I'm perfect. I don't even want to put on such a portrayal, because in 10 minutes you'll be disappointed. it's just like, dear God. You see, I believe we're having coming to roost today of all these things that have been going on. All this stuff that's been happening, and it's coming down. It's a reaping time. But it ain't, if you've been following wisdom, you ain't got nothing to be scared of. You've been following what's right. And I think we're sitting here today in this. And you know what? I just want you to understand this. I ain't blaming this just as ministers, because there's loads of people paid them to say what they say and do what they do. I remember as a young Christian back with PTL, getting way out of line, people saying, and I knew things weren't going to go. And I remember after they had to fall and that stuff, and there some people came to me and they were all upset about PTL. And they said, we gave this money to them and we were supposed to have this hotel, you know, stay in a hotel, number one. And I said, they were saying to me, and I said, what happened to PTL isn't your problem. I said, your problem is you. I said, number one, I knew the PTL was going to do it. I knew they weren't going to be able to keep up what they were doing. I knew they wouldn't. And I said, you didn't listen to God. You listened to a man and you thought you were getting a free ride. And I said, you missed it. And you're trying to put your miss it over on his miss it. Where he missed it, that was him. But you're not listening to God. That's you. You would have known not to give the money to that. You would have known not to do that if you listened to God. You'd have known that some guy, you can't pay $1,000 and then for the rest of your life get to go stay in a hotel for a week free. Nobody can build a hotel that big. I mean, that's bigger than the city four square. Any knucklehead that would think, because you know, how many people are gonna, I mean, there's just common sense. You can't do that. That's called a Ponzi scheme, you know? But those people, I mean, just from, I used to say, well, just from logic, that ain't gonna work. You can't do that. They can't do that. Here I am, I'm sitting, I didn't have no, you know, hotel management degree, but I can figure out in my own head that that can't work. But starry-eyed Christians looking for something for nothing. And I'm sorry, a lot of the faith teaching turned into something for nothing. It did. It turned into something for nothing. And it don't work that way. It's not something for nothing. Our faith is about giving our life to Jesus Christ. Our faith is about following Him. It's about being His servant. That's what it is. And that's what we're doing. We're setting ourselves to be as servants of Jesus Christ. We don't need to come up with some gimmick. We don't need a gimmick to raise money to build something or do something. Come up with a gimmick. Promise people what they can't have or what ain't going to work. Making promises. This one minister, he sent this thing out to people and it was a thing and what he had a pin and he's going to send it back. It was a prayer request thing and he said he was going to pin these things on him. And I mean, they were just pin them on himself when he goes to prayer. And I forget, like, you know, he had a large ministry and like, you know, he had about a million of those things set. And I mean, what a liar. I mean, if he'd have pinned them all on himself, he'd have never been able to get up off the ground. He'd have been laying there. They'd have had to get, I mean, but these guys lie. Now, and this is the whole thing of it is. People don't even think, I think when he's turning around doing this, I thought, ain't no way you're going to be doing that. I mean, you're going to have about $200 worth of pin on you. If you get all of those. You know. I watched it. Big day ministers, they had pallets of prayer requests. You ever see those shows they do and they get pallets of them? Now, they had these pallets of them there. And all these ministers, they got out there and they said, we're going to lay hands on this. Whatever, big name minister. Walked out in front, we're going to pray. Because they were specifically, these prayers were for people who had demonic problems and stuff. We're going to pray over this, and the devil will never bother you again. I mean, there's all these big day ministers. I will just be honest with you. I don't care if I would be on TV or not. I wouldn't have touched one of those pallets. I'd have walked away. I wouldn't have not joined the lie. Now look, I'll tell you what to do if you want to never have the devil bother you again. Get a gun, put it in your mouth, on your head, pull the trigger. You're going to go to heaven. Devil never bother you again. But you're living in this earth. The devil's going to bother you. Wouldn't it be nice? I could pray a prayer for you guys and the devil never bothered you again. I wish I could get that prayer to work for me. Dear God. You know, ministers, they probably we send out these special packets of oil. This is special oil. Special oil. See the lies that go on. There is no special oil. Special. You know why it's special? We prayed over this oil. And your packet that you get. I know ministers were doing that. Big name minister. I could tell you, everybody knows who it is. Doing that kind of thing. They were never, ever near the oil. Those packets of oil were packaged by a company, and that company sent all the things out for them. Loads of these here, their ministries don't send these things out. They pay companies to do, you know. You work for a company that sends mailers out and stuff, and that's what they have a company that sends them out. And I talked to a guy from the company, and he said, they never did none of that stuff. That oil came in and was shipped in here in these little packets and we just package everything up and it gets, and they'll stand and tell you, we pray over this oil, we pray over all of it. And this special oil, and if you get, you'll get blessed, you'll get a special, if you send this special offering in, you're going to get a special blessing from God. Because you know why? He lied when he said he blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. There were some special ones he held out that you didn't know about, did you? Ah. But see what he told me to do? He told me to pray for you for that special one. And if you send me a check for $1,000, it is amazing. You get to have that special one that he didn't give in that first offer he gave. And how would you like this special necklace with a stone from the tomb? I'm going to tell you what, there would not be a tomb. They took all the stones. You go down, there's no stone to roll away anymore. They got a quarry there. Folks, this is, you know what, but see, people, all this stuff over the years, I've watched this and watched this, and we have happened today, and people sit dumbfounded. Like, what's going on? I think things are just coming to roost. I think things are coming to roost. See, we can't go on and do these kinds of things. We can't have that anymore. You fleece God's people. We've turned things and just made them religious. They're just religious junk going on out here and that stuff. Ministries have become nothing but things of selling trinkets and doing stuff and things and all kind of things, special stuff to make money. You know, I want to know this. Going and getting baptized in the Jordan River, what's that going to do for you? Why all these Christians run on and we go down the Jordan River to get baptized again? Like that's going to do something for you. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. Getting in the Jordan River don't make anybody a better Christian. I know, because I know people have gone over and got dunked again and they're as dumb as they were when they left. It didn't do nothing. Folks, I know this, but the church is full of religion. We're full of stuff that's been drug in, stuff's going on, and it ain't right. The worst of it all is this. It fleeces the flock of God. It cheats God's people. It cheats you. You are cheated by it. Ministers selling their autograph. I was in a meeting. If you bought one, they said, I want to sell my study Bible. And if you give an extra $100, I'll autograph it. And this is a guy, I mean, he vocally, boy, he was against homosexuality and his all this stuff. Selling his autograph. I mean, I had more respect for the homosexual. Because he's unsaved, acting like a sinner, but he's a saint. He ain't supposed to be doing that dumb stuff. Selling his autograph. Could you imagine Jesus selling it? I don't know what's a real Bible because I don't see Jesus' autograph in there. What do you think, Mike? Not sure about it. How about yours, John? It's probably not the real one, John. Does anybody have an autograph Bible from Jesus? Sell an autograph. I don't know. I just signed my t-shirt. Hallelujah! So folks, let's follow wisdom, okay? Let's us follow wisdom. Don't matter what anybody else is doing, let's us follow. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to follow wisdom, folks. Follow the Word of God. Hallelujah. If you have to be your own preacher, preach to you. If nobody else will tell you the truth, you preach to you the truth. You say the truth. You can keep saying that stuff. Hallelujah. Praise God. All we got to do is follow the blessing of God. You know, I always think about Joshua and Caleb. You know, God, when God told Joshua and he'd take over, what do? You stay following the Word of God. You just stay to the Word of God day and night. He said, you're going to be a success in what you do. That ain't just for Joshua. It would work the same for you. If you follow what the Word, you follow the wisdom of the Word of God, it's the same to you. You'll be a success wherever you go. Whatever you do, you're going to be successful. Why? Because you're following wisdom. There's no other way for it to turn out. No other way to turn out. Hallelujah. Just follow what's true. Because it's the truth that makes men free. Hallelujah. Your freedom's not based on the Constitution. They can turn the Constitution. Every judge in this nation can go do what he wants. He can do what he wants. But I'm going to tell you what. It don't change the freedom God gave you in Christ Jesus. Changes none of it. It don't change the Word of God one iota concerning you and what God will do for you. I don't know about you. See, that's good news. We got something to stand on. We're in a storm in our nation. And Jesus told us, Jesus himself told us how to succeed. Jesus said, the guy who built his house on the rock. Now, what was the rock? The rock was this. The guy that hears the word and does it. He didn't say the guy who's born again, the guy who accepts Jesus. He said the guy who hears the word. In other words, you heard the wisdom of God and you did it. And what happens? Kenneth Hagin used to say this, you know, one guy's house fell. He said the storm didn't drop the house, because if the storm could drop the house, he said the other guy's house would have fell too. What dropped the house? Not doing the word. Not doing the word. That's why it fell. The storm didn't do it. It was because he didn't do the word. The storm couldn't affect when you were doing the word. And the storm, we're in a storm, don't get affected by it. And we have a guarantee that if you stand on the word of God and you stay on the word and you do what the word says, you're going to stand the storm. It's a guarantee. Proverbs 1:33 is yours. That's the guarantee, the storm. The storm can come. But you're the doer of the word. Hallelujah. The storm ain't taking you away. Your house is going to stand because the word cannot be changed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I thank you today. I thank you today for a people standing strong in the name of Jesus. I thank you for a people unmoved. Hallelujah. Unmoved by the changes of society and the trends of society and whatever else is going on. Unmoved by trends in the church to do whatever. Lord God, a people who stand on the Word of God and are unmoved, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, the Word has spoken, Lord God. Your words have been said and they can't be changed. Lord God, if we would listen to wisdom, if we would listen to what wisdom said and do it, you promised us blessing. Hallelujah. You promised that we would be blessed. Lord God, you promised that what was in wisdom's hand, Lord God, that in the right hand of wisdom today is long life, it is soundness and health and healing, and in its left hand is riches and honor. And I want to thank you, Lord God. Lord God, we're not seeking for the death of our enemy. We're not seeking for anything. We're seeking today for the wisdom of God. That's what we need in this day and time. If there's anything needed in this nation and around the world, there needs to be a free flow of the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. And a people who will rise up and take it and walk in it and do it. Hallelujah. That the blessing of God may come again. That the blessing of God may flow again. Hallelujah. That wisdom can show forth her hands again. Hallelujah. Lord God, the restoration, Father God, of the glorious church of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father. I thank you for talking to us. I thank you for speaking in our face. I thank you, Lord God. If you need to rebuke us, rebuke us. If we need corrected, whatever it might be, Lord God. Father, if our lives just need more discipline or whatever else it needs, Lord God, whatever training we need, Father God, I want to thank you for the great Holy Spirit, hallelujah, working in us, revealing, showing the things of God, hallelujah, to us. And Lord God, Lord, if anything we need in the church world, Lord God, is to be doers of the word. And Lord God, teach us, instruct us. Lord God, I'm sure that there's things about doing the word we don't know and we don't understand. And I just know inside of me there's things that have been a hindrance, and it's not because we didn't want to know or we didn't try to know, but there's just information that we need to be able to act out. Hallelujah. That I just know that are going to just turn things and change things. Hallelujah. Immensely. Change things immensely. And Lord God, teach us what to do. Lord God, Lord, these people here, Lord God, quicken within them this day, Lord God, of their position in you, of who they are in Christ Jesus. Lord God, that they don't need that somebody else be telling them all what to do, Lord God. Lord, that they are the house of God. They have the Holy Spirit in them, and the Holy Spirit directs them and reveals to them. And Lord, especially the things dealing from this point forward, Lord God, till our Master comes, Lord God, reveal to them what to do, what to walk in, Lord God. Lord God, not just in a way in general. Father, show them, Lord God, their place and their place to stand in this day and this hour with the anointing of God on them. Lord God, to fulfill the plans and purposes that you called them to. Father God, Lord, it just keeps coming up in me. Lord God, in a sense, every believer is a prophet. Every believer is a prophet in their own household and among their own people. Lord God,
Lord, that you can speak through them and to them, Lord God, and reveal, bring revelation, Lord God, that they don't have to search out, Lord God, that, Lord, and especially I pray in these last days, especially for the ones who are standing in prophets' ministry, Lord God, is raising up prophets. Lord God, Lord, as you use the prophets' ministry for me in many times, Lord God, when I would attend Kenneth Hagin's meetings where he would speak things, Lord God, and say things, Lord God, that were confirmations of things you had already revealed to me and showed me. And Lord God, and that's the basic ministry of the prophet today, is not to tell people what they don't know. And Lord God, I pray today, Lord God. Lord, there's things that you're speaking to individuals here, that there's revelation that you're giving them. And I thank you, Lord God. Lord, we need the true prophets ministry that come forth, Lord God, to verify within the church, Lord God, things you're speaking to people, things you're showing them, Lord God, and giving as a witness, Lord, that you have been speaking them. Because, Lord, many times, it is good for us to have a confirmation about some things. Lord, there's things we need confirmation on. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you, Lord. You want to bring that confirmation. You want to bring that. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. You know, Michael, the Lord has spoken to you in time past. It spoke to you concerning things dealing with the future and coming forth concerning ministry-wise. And in some way, now you have stepped into a greater anointing. You've seen an overtime. You've seen the change within yourself and that anointing. But you know, time's come along and it seems like some things to you maybe has waned. It's like, man, this throws things off. This has not thrown anything off for you. It's thrown nothing off for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For many, many, this is a time, this is the place where it just keeps coming to me. There's going to be a big step made out of this thing. A big step. Where many have thought, well, you know, what's going to happen with this? It doesn't matter what's going on. Spiritually, it's going to be a great step for many and the opening of doors for many things. The opening of doors for many, many things. This Spirit of God said, you've been led by the Spirit. You stepped out. You've had the change. You've left your other job. You stepped in and I said, well, what's going on now? It don't matter what's going on right now because this is a step thing. This is a transition. People are looking. And let me just say, this is for everybody. People are talking about this transition. Things aren't going to be the same. I want to tell you what. They ain't going to be the same. I'm telling you, things ain't going to be the same. And I'm talking for good. Things ain't going to be the same. Things are getting changed. Things are getting changed, folks. It ain't going to be the same. And they're talking about transition. I'm going to tell you, the transition that's coming, they don't even see it coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, people are downgrading. We're upgrading. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is upgrading. The Holy Ghost is stepping up. This is a step up. This is a step up. No matter. The world can rail. They can say what they want. The opinions of the wise can stand out and say what they want. But I'm going to tell you, there's a wisdom of God. And God's wisdom has been in the middle of this all. And He has watched and He said, and He has set His foot forward. And He has decided and He's made decisions that will not be changed. And all that men say and all that men do and run their mouth about will not change God's opinion. And God's going to set it forth no matter what they say or do. He's stepping forth in this day and hour because there's a fruit of the earth that He desires and He will take it upon demand. Hallelujah. 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 That's the time. That's the time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're in the right time. We're in the right place. Hallelujah. 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 See, don't get, you know, one of the times is when the Spirit of God speaks, we need to understand time because God doesn't deal with time like we do. You know, God's not in time. Time is only relevant to us. It's not relevant to God. It doesn't exist. He's timeless, you know. God having a watch wouldn't do anything good for Him anyhow. It wouldn't matter because He has no time. I mean, He's just going on and on and on and on and on. And we're going to go to that day too when the Timex runs out and all that kind of stuff. Nobody's watch is going to matter. But see, God's not working. We do. We work in time. But we need to understand, because sometimes when God says short, to him can be short. Is we got to understand this. You see, this is one of the things that God's been dealing with me on, is dealing in the areas of time, because we have looked at things of the past. See, people saw the year 2000. See, we marked things just by years, and we look at years. We just, God don't deal by years. The year 2000 come along, and the prophets come out and said all kind of things about 2000, and they were all wrong about it. And there's one thing that, and I said to numbers of people about it. I had people during that time, they come to me and say, what's going to happen to you? Did God say anything to you about 2000? I said, God never spoke to me about 2000. I said, so nothing's going to happen. Well, they said, well, how do you know that? Because I said, if anything was going to happen, God would tell me. Now, I didn't say that because as a minister. I didn't say that because as a prophet. I'm God's child. God will tell me if something's going to go on. God will let me know. So I knew nothing was going to happen. But see, people got over into things of the future. Well, everybody was getting ready. We're going to get ready and leave. You know, and it's easy to get over that, because there was a lot said. Now, I believe it was by the Spirit. I believe people were saying by the Spirit. But to our shortness of time, I want you to think about this and think about this in shortness of time. I mean, we have 1948, Israel becomes a nation. And the church back then thought they were leaving tomorrow, you know, and that didn't come, you know, because that was a thing spoken in the end, and God said a lot of things. Now think of this. 1950 is 2 years after that. The Lord appears to Kenneth Hagin and says, talk about the end time. And he said to churches, the church in America is having, the America is having its last call. Now think about that. America is having its last call. It's 1950. That was a couple years back, wasn't it? There's one thing, see, and you got it. There's one thing, as I've learned over time, you got to learn to hook up in the Spirit to start to learn some things about time with God. We keep looking at time with calendar. We got to stop. Sometimes God will do things by calendar, will indicate certain things to us by there, but there's a lot that he don't. It isn't just about years with him. And you got to understand the place that you're at and where you're at in this. And see, like now, we need to understand. It's important to understand what's happening in the time that we're in and in our place. This is why, is one of the things I got very disappointed and talked to God about things that were going on from the beginning of the year, because of the lack of things being said by prophets about what's really going on. Because number one, it is really important for this that the church understands where they are at the time. Right now in time. And there's one thing as God has done for me into this year, has really kept me steady in the fact of, this is where you're supposed to just keep walking in what you're doing. Stay in course of what you're doing. There's one of the things that Randall Greer had made this statement back in January. He said, till the end of this year comes up, he said, many things are going to change. Now, he was talking really some things that are good. It's some things going to turn out for the church for the good and for Christians for the good. It's going to turn out at the end of the year. But now he also did say that there were some things during the year. It ain't going to happen for as good as for some in the church. It ain't going to happen for good. Well, see, we can see that. There's a lot that hasn't happened for good. But see, knowing where you are in the time, because see, this is what, well, he went on to prophesy about the next 3 years. And see, people were thinking concerning about leaving. Well, you know, I get over and thinking about the leaving side. I don't know about you. I'd like to. But I just want to say this to you. It's one of the things is the Lord keeps reminding me of this, because in 1950, from 1950, the Lord said this in the vision, and I pay attention. It's one thing is the Lord has really helped me. I have always stayed on the areas of visions at the things that Brother Hagin specifically, where Jesus appeared to Kenneth E. Hagin, appeared to him and gave him a revelation about something. I have always, over the years, studied them. Those books, I get out every year and read over them, sometimes numbers of times. Why? They're revelations given by God. We need to understand it. Kenneth Hagin's ministry was for this purpose. God said his ministry was to get the church ready for the return of Jesus Christ.
The revelations that Kenneth Hagin got were not for Kenneth Hagin. They were for us, so we would be ready when Jesus came. Jesus said in 1950, many of my people will not be ready to meet me at my coming. Many, he didn't say some, he said many of my people will not be ready to meet me. Why? Because they have not followed the revelations given. They haven't followed them, these revelations. Well, when Randall Greer came along, when I hooked up with him, one of the things he said and teach, he said, the Lord spoke to me. He said, you go back and meditate on and teach those things. Ever, you know, so often talk about those revelations and that stuff. And I was really glad to hear. I thought, man, God's always dealing with me with those revelations. But Jesus made this statement, and I want to say this to you, because when I'm looking at the standpoint of leaving, I don't think we're going to leave as quick as we'd like to. We'd in our minds to leave to. But I'm going to, let me just say this. The things that are coming, I want to be here when it comes. There's things I want to be here. Is number one, God spoke to me and told me he had prepared me for that. Those things that are coming are the things that I had set. He had me set in motion back in 1980 through 1983 when I used to pray on the streets of the city of Lebanon about this valley, this valley. We want to see those things come to pass. But there's one thing he keeps bringing me to revelation on this thing. See, because we get some, you know, some of the things I don't think in the Bible we have as much revelation on as we'd like to think, and especially concerning end times. We have been mostly, we've listened to what other people have said about it, and they've given what revelation they've had. And it's sort of like, you know, we've all done, sometimes God gave us a word and we said a sentence. And we've said maybe things that, you know, left impressions of things that really God didn't say, and people take it as revelations. There's one thing that I've found out, there's many people who have left the scene now over the last number of years here, who said things about the end times, and they sure thought they would have been gone with Jesus, and Jesus would have taken the church. He didn't. And I realized they taught revelations, things that they knew, but there's certain things they didn't know. They didn't know. They're just like us, ain't they? They're just like you and I. Well, the Lord keeps reminding me of this over this year. He keeps talking to me about what he told Kenneth Hagin, said this. Before the worst comes, I'm going to take the church. Before the worst comes, I'm going to take a church. Before the worst comes. Well, I thought it got pretty bad some years ago and under the Obama administration when all this stuff started out in our nation. And we're wanting to move a God, and we're moving everything but toward a move of God. And then things go along and we see what happened when our president now and all this stuff and just things going on. You know, and I'm thinking, Lord, we're not seeing the things. See, and we got to watch because of time. We think these things ought to be changing quickly and we ought to be into this move and things yet. But I see this is number thing. I see this thing. There's certain things that had to come along. There's certain things of judgment that have to be dealt with for us to step into things. And when God reminded me some things of history, if you back up into history, you'll find the same pattern of things take place. You find the same patterns in the Bible. But anyhow, the Lord said that before things get to the worst, he was going to take the church. And then he asked me this question. He said, when does it get its worst? Well, I thought, well, when it gets worse, I don't know. And he's there, you know. Well, I've studied the Bible to know enough, and you know too. And if you've ever listened to me teach, you know. There's a period of time, and this is where the church teaches certain things that I don't think people are not trying to mislead anybody, but I don't think maybe we're as clear as we should. We talk about the tribulation period, the tribulation. We talk about the 7 years of tribulation. It's called 7 years of trouble. But one of the things that we don't understand, when we look at trouble, we just mean bad things happening, just bad things happening. Well, really, if we look at, say, like we've been here in the last 15 years and America has been a mess. It's been some real trouble, hasn't it? It's been some real trouble. But the Lord said to me, there's a period of time coming up, and he said, the real trouble, the real problem, he said, is in the last 3.5 years of the book of Revelation, which Revelation deals with really that last 3.5 years,
is the time of the great tribulation. That's the time of great trouble. And the Lord said to Kenneth Hagin, before things get to the worst. And the Lord said, I said, well, that there's the great tribulation. He said, well, that's the worst. And he said, before the worst comes, I'm going to take the church out. This is something that I have never said to anybody or ever told anyone, and I really was apprehensive to ever say about it. Is something happened to me about two days after I got born again. And now, because I look over the years and I look at the teaching was going on, and we have the teaching, it tells us before the Antichrist comes, the power of the church is going to be gone. So we're told. There's things that within Scripture, I could question some of that. I could, you know, and I know concerning teaching, and we can look at things, but I'm just this. I look at things. I don't think we have all the revelation yet of what we need to know and understand. But I'm going to say this today. Boy, and I didn't plan on talking. There's just certain things that just I'd rather not talk about, because I tell you what, for some people it just... It throws people off. And number one, I don't want us to ever, you know, worry about tribulation and what's coming or what anything like that. We're the church. And the Lord said to me, it was only two nights after, one of the things that night he spoke to me about was I would be in full-time ministry. He talked to me, you're going to be in full-time ministry. I knew it in my heart the night I accepted Christ. I knew it. And the Lord spoke to me about it. In fact, a couple days later, Wanda spoke to me and said, and Wanda wasn't even saved at the time, and said to me about me being in the ministry. She wasn't even saved at the time. She said, I thought, oh dear God, this is supernatural. But the Lord said this to me. And I wasn't doing any studying. I just got born again. I wasn't trying to find out, you know, when the tribulation was. I wasn't studying none of that stuff. I wasn't looking at any of those things. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to us, and he's never said anything about it since. And I didn't know, maybe he hasn't, because I haven't talked to him about it either, because I thought, I just sort of let it alone. He said to me, he said, the Antichrist is going to know who you are. And I thought, well, the devil knows who I am anyhow. But he spoke specifically to the Antichrist. He says, going to know who you are. Now, I want you to understand this. I don't think that thing was just for me. I think concerning the church. The church is always under the fear the Antichrist comes, you know, we got to get out here because everything turns sour. Well, I'm going to tell you what, the Antichrist spirit's running strong already. If you haven't noticed that, you need another dip. You definitely need another dip. It wouldn't be surprise me that somewhere in that time period that the church leaves, because when the Antichrist comes in, he doesn't set himself up as God. He does that in the middle of the 3.5 years, after the first 3.5 years, he sets himself up as God. He's going to come in as a world leader. He's going to take care. He's going to make peace with Israel. Jesus said this to Kenneth Hagin about the end times, and said this to him. He said that time period, he said that many of his people wouldn't be ready. And one of the reasons he said because of false miracles and false things going on. That many of his people were going to follow it. They were going to follow the false. I didn't know who this pope was when this pope that we have now, I didn't know who he was when he first, I'd never heard, I don't follow the Catholic Church what they're doing. But when I heard, you know, the one pope, he retired, which has never happened. They always croak and fall over. But I believe the devil was moving. And the devil set this guy in place. But the Lord spoke to me. I wasn't even praying or ever asking about it. The Lord spoke to me and said, you see that man? Because the thing, he was on TV. He said, you see that man? He said, the devil's going to use him. And he said, he's going to be, you know, big in helping the Antichrist. And the Antichrist come into power. And I thought, gee, what was this? He said, he's going to be big in bringing the Antichrist into power. I can see it already. You understand about religion. Now, he don't say he's trying to be a bad guy or anything like that. But there's just things that he said and done that people just overlook and don't pay attention to that are really demonic. And people don't even pay attention or notice it because he says all these other things that seem real nice. You understand it? Antichrist is going to get into power being Mr. Sweet. And there's a good chance he's going to be a homosexual.
Because in Daniel it says he's not going to have a desire for a woman. And the Pope said this, he believes the homosexuals have something to offer the church. Ooh, boy, he's a guy I want to hook up with. I think he knows more than we do about it. I think he has a plan. But I'm just saying these things. Now, I don't, you know, it's one thing. I have not been, you know, the thing that the Lord has been dealing with me on concerning the time that we're in. It's one of the things is this, and I think the big thing is, stay in following the Word. God will reveal Himself to you. There's a lot of things that people are trying to find out that they want to know before they do anything or follow. Walk in the Word. Live in the Word. And expect God to talk to you. Expect God to reveal things to you. You know, I've always expected God to show me, you know, is anything concerning me, and I've said this for years, I think a lot of it is happening because of confession of my faith. I have said, I've talked all the time, I mean, since I've been a young Christian, I believe anything that affects me or has to do with me, God will talk to me about it. God's always really real. See, most people, they're walking along and they think, well, you know, you got to be a preacher. You got to be a preacher to do none of that. You have the Holy Ghost in you. The Holy Spirit. I don't get a special Holy Spirit. I may have a different anointing in ministry, but I don't hear from God personally on any different level than any of you do. You need to understand that. There's one thing, anointing comes on me when I'm on to minister, but in my personal life, I operate on the exact same level that you do. I have to hear God just in the same way you do. I don't have any special thing. No minister has any special thing in their personal life. I have to hear God just like you do. I have to seek God. I have to look. God has it. And now I stand up here and minister. Sometimes, just like I was talking to when I started talking to Mike, and I say, the anointing comes on me to do that. But you know what? When that anointing lifts, it's Ed. And in my personal life, I have to hear from God to know from my personal life. And there's things I need to hear and I need to, and I learned this over time. God is concerned about my personal life. He's concerned about your personal life. He's concerned about you personally. There's things that you need to know that nobody's going to ever preach to you or ever tell you. You're going to have to hear from God for yourself. It's about you. There's things that nobody else needs to know. There's things God just wants to talk to you personally about you and dealing with you. There's things God's dealt with me and things that I've never talked about to nobody. But they were about God talking to me and about things. You know, it's just like the first I talked today about this, about the Antichrist thing. I'd never said that before, never had a plan until God, man, got over there and I sort of wanted to head off in another direction. Because you need to understand when you say those things, because people get so set in their way. Well, he believes you're going to go. I'm just going to follow what God said. It's number one. A lot of the people are so worried about the church leaving, they'd have thought we were supposed to already left 10 years ago. Well, that didn't work, and they're still, they'd beat a dead horse to death anyhow. No, you know, don't ever read the Bible again. Well, so-and-so told us and said. I don't know. But I'm just going to tell you this. Don't ever ask me who the Antichrist is. Number one, if you don't know who he is, just forget it. When the Antichrist shows up, you'll know unless you're one of those who are not ready to meet Jesus at his coming. You'll know. I've always known the Antichrist spirit. I've known, for the years, I've watched the Antichrist spirit move, and I watched the church not have a clue, most people not have a clue about it, and seeing it operate. But the Antichrist spirit moves. Don't get over this. People, this person's the Antichrist, or that person started into this thing. People do this stuff all the time. Don't go there. They're always wrong. They're always wrong. You'll know. You follow the Word of God, you walk into wisdom of God, you'll know. You'll know. You know, I remember when Mama became president, and people say, oh yeah, you know, he's going to be the Antichrist. You know, I recognize the Antichrist spirit working in the man, but I knew he wasn't the Antichrist. I knew he wasn't going to be the Antichrist. Why?
I just knew on the inside it wasn't the Antichrist. See, people get into these kind of things and they get into, they see the Antichrist spirit work and they sort of sense that. Then they start doing it. See, it's that's sort of the thing where you get a word and you turn it into a sentence. Sort of one of those things. And there gets to be a lot of that going on. We don't have to predict that. What you follow God and you will know. You follow God. You will know. In 1987, before I went to Rhema, the last Sunday I preached at the church I was in at that time, and I preached a message, and the message the Lord gave me, it was about the return of Jesus Christ. And I thought, this is an odd one. I'm going to Bible school and it's the return of Jesus Christ. I thought, well, when I come back from school, I don't know. Anyhow. But one of the things is from 1 John where he talks about those who have this hope purify themselves. We're in the days of purification. That's what this is about, folks. These are the days of purification. People that ain't purifying themselves, they ain't getting ready for Jesus coming. People that ain't drawing closer to the Word, they ain't getting ready for Jesus to come. We're in the days of purification. Those who purify themselves, they didn't say who God purifies, they purify themselves. You do it yourself. You got to purify your life. God gave you a born-again spirit inside of you, born-again child of God, your inner man's born again, and you have the Holy Ghost in you. You have everything you need with the Word of God to purify yourself. Those who purify themselves, ones that are going to get ready. And that's what we've been doing. We're purifying ourselves, getting ourselves ready. And really, that's what the Lord just wants. You just keep yourself on the road to getting ready. You will be ready for Jesus Christ's return. You don't have to be concerned or worried about it. You don't have to worry that you're going to miss it. I've been in a church world long enough, people get worried about whether they're going to miss it. They say, well, you know, many people aren't going to be ready. This boy going to be ready. I won't say anything else. This boy was going to be ready because I'll do what I got to do to get ready. I'm just going to stay on the road to ready. That's where we're going. That's where I'm traveling. I'm not talking about anybody. People that are worried about if they're going to be ready, they wouldn't be worried about if they were doing anything to get ready. There's a lot of people, they don't change their lives. And we got all this stuff about people out here. They think because they're born again, you know, everything just works out. Just because I accepted Jesus 52 years ago, I ain't followed him since that night. But, you know, it just, oh, I got saved. You know, and, they got some things to worry about. But we don't have something to be worried about. You just keep following the road. Hallelujah. There's some big things coming still while we're here. Let me just say this. I'll guarantee you Jesus ain't coming this year and he ain't coming next year. I will guarantee you that. I'll guarantee you that should. And I tell you, when next year's over, you can say, you know, to then, you don't have to agree with it. That's all you want. But till next year's over, you come up, you know, it was right. It didn't even go. There's things I know. I know for me, I just know. I know it. And I ain't going to say that that ain't going to be the end of it either. But you know what? What concerns me, he shows me. I ain't leaving till he fulfills in me all that he said he was going to. And it all ain't getting fulfilled this year for sure. And next year, some things are going to get rolling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't plan on talking about none of that, but it's good we talk about some of these things. Or some of these things need to be said. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because, you know, people get over it. I mean, listen in your own spirit. You know, it doesn't matter what somebody else says. Listen in your own spirit. Jesus ain't going to take you out of here without you knowing. This sneaking up preaching is the stupidest stuff because you can't find none of it in the Bible. It's all people's own minds and thoughts. He's going to come and sneak you out of here. Why would he have to sneak me out of here? I'm on his side. Dear God. Never heard such stupid stuff. We're going to all disappear. There's just going to be a pile of clothing laying there. That seems to be more important to people than anything.
I think there's going to be a pile of people laying here. Oh my God, all the things are going to happen. He's going to come and take us and we ain't going to know. But I was telling you, let me just say, I was just so glad to hear Randall Greer said this, because this is something that I have known for many, many years because of that last Sunday that I preached in 1987. The Lord revealed me, and I was getting that message ready about Jesus Christ's return, and He revealed to me about before He comes that His people are going to know. And it's one of the things, see, one of the things is with Noah, he used it's going to be like in the days of Noah. Did Noah know what he's going to leave? Did Noah know he's going to go? He was building an ark. Well, it would have been dumb to start raining before the ark was done, wouldn't it? It would have been stupid. Say, hey, we're going to drown with a half-built boat. Boy, this is going to be great. And the Bible said, Jesus Himself said it's going to be like the days of Noah. He said, up in the time that He went into the ark. See, there's going to be the people on the outside and there's going to be the people on the inside. We're going to know. He said, you're going to know ahead of time. And this is what He said. He said, the only message that's going to be preached from the church in those days is that we're leaving. Is that being preached that we're leaving? People are still trying to call the shot of when He comes. That's not what's going to be going on. Now, we can preach today that Christ is returning. But there's a chime that's going to come in the future here that's going to completely change the church. Is number one, it's going to be like the days of Noah. They ain't going to be, people ain't going to be building new churches. Remember what he said about Noah? They're not going to be married, given in marriage. They're not going to be. See, people are not going to be planning on staying here. How could that happen unless they know they're going? See, people don't read the Bible. Men say things and say stuff. But back many years ago, the Lord took me those scriptures and showed me. He said, this is what it's going to be like. Here's what it's going to be like. He said, people ain't going to be planning on staying here, making new deals and this stuff. He said, everything's going to come to a stop for the church. And the church is going to be doing one thing, getting ready to go. Randall Greer said this. He had a vision. And the Lord showed him what it's going to be like with the church. He said Christians will get it caught up in the spirit for weeks on end. He said not even knowing where they're at concerning this world. They're going to be more over in the spirit than they are in the natural. I had a vision concerning this valley, the city of Lebanon. The city of Lebanon. Jesus Christ was coming. In the vision I had, He gave me, the streets were filled. The streets were absolutely packed with people standing. They all had their hands raised in the air. And when I first saw the vision, I thought, well, what's going on here? What's going on? And then I saw Jesus coming. And I saw Jesus coming. And I realized, the church is going to know when He's coming. They're going to be out ready to be taken. They're going to be ready to be taken. That's what Jesus was talking about with Kenneth Hagin. He said, many of my people ain't going to be ready, but the ones that are ready, they're going to know. And you're going to find there's going to be loads of Christians. They ain't going to know He's coming back. They're going to think you're weird. Oh, remember what He told Peter said? They're going to say, oh man, they've said this before back with our fathers that He's coming. We've heard that number before. You know who's going to be saying that? Church people. Church people are going to be talking that stuff. The world ain't going to be talking about it. There are people who heard it in a church. And they're going to say, we don't believe that. See, they're not believers. They don't believe it. Many people have the Bible and they play church, but they don't believe it. Hallelujah. But He's coming for believers. My ministry is to get the church ready for the return of Jesus Christ. That's what God had me follow Kenneth Hagin ministry. My number one ministry is to the church. Is to get Christians ready for the return of Jesus Christ. That's the ministry that's been passed on by Kenneth Hagin. That's the ministry, is to get people ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Now others, they do other things. That's whatever God calls them. That's my mission. is number one is the church is the believer. And these last days, I'm called to the believer. That's my main ministry, is to the believer. My main ministry isn't to the world. My main ministry is to the believer. That's what God's called me to get believers ready. So you got to follow what you're called to. But that's my call. That's why I had me follow under Kenneth Hagin's ministry. Majority of people out in Kenneth Hagin's ministry, that's their call. That's what he passed on to us. Getting people ready. Get the church ready. Hallelujah. And that's what we're doing. We're getting ready to go. And our getting ready, we'll have a lot of other people who get ready. The big thing it is, we get ready. So many out here today are trying to get everybody else ready when they ain't. See, if I get me ready, I can help you get ready. You can't help somebody get ready when you ain't. So many Christians are trying to reach the world, and God's trying to get the world out of the church. Because if we bring the world in, we're just going to bring them into the worldly church. That's right. We're going to bring them into the worldly church, and we're going to do exactly what Jesus criticized the Pharisees for. He said, you just make them worse children of hell. We ain't doing that, are we? Uh-uh. Glory to God. God has wonderful plans for us. Hallelujah. I know going on a long time here, but the Spirit of God has some things to say about these end days. Hallelujah, that we're in, getting us ready. Father, thank you today. Thank you for being so kind and patient with us. Hallelujah. Father, you have wonderful plans, and surely, Lord God, as Paul told us in his words to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, that we see through a glass darkly. And Lord God, we get glimpses into these things, but we sure don't know everything about them. And Lord God, I recognize that I don't know for sure. But Lord God, I want to thank you. I believe in this day and time. In fact, I'm sure about it now. Yeah, Lord. As we release these things, we do know that you're going to start revealing more about these things. And Lord. Yeah, I know you want to reveal. Yeah. Hallelujah. And Lord, we're just going to be obedient to you in that, to reveal the things that you want to show us in this time. And Lord God, Lord, in my heart, is looking with here at this place and your people, and Lord God, your desire for them. Lord God, your heart really goes out to them. And Lord God, your desire to bless them and help them, and especially is to reveal to them. Lord God, personal fellowship, a personal revealing of things. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. The Spirit saying this, the desire, God's desire to reveal to you the things that have been a mystery to you, the things you've wondered and thought about concerning the Word, things that you have had glimpses of, but you knew there was more to be seen in that. And the Holy Spirit desires greatly to reveal those things, because this is in the days and the times of great light. Great light. Great light. Nothing hidden. All that needs to be known for preparation. All that needs to be known for readiness. Hallelujah. All that needs to be known to carry out the will and the purpose of God. Yes, those things now are the time. For there's things that the Holy Spirit has desired to bring forth. And he has set up men to do so, but men got off course and got away in these last years. And the Holy Spirit has not been able to reveal and bring certain things that he had desired, because men got more tied toward the natural than the spiritual. And the things, if they would have been brought out in the past, they would have gotten perverted. But now I'm raising me up a people, says God. They are not perverted, but they are the ones who have chosen me. I chose them, but now they've chosen me, and they've walked toward me. And now I'm going to hand to them. I'm going to hand to them my things, the things that I treasure, and I'm going to put it into their hands, because they have shown themselves faithful, and I will put my treasures in their hands, and they will carry them, and they will walk them out in these days
and times and walk ahead. Yes, yes, yes. And you've set yourself to know and you've set yourself to understand and you put your hand out and I will put my treasures in your hand and I will lay them in your hand so you can walk in them, so you can know them, so you can understand and comprehend, and you'll know my mind as I know yours. And we will walk together as one and fulfill the plans and the purposes. Yes, yes, and you're stepping in now. Now, in this part of the year, you have stepped into the second part of 2020. Yes, there'll be many things and all kind of things going on. Fear not and don't worry about these things because this pattern has fallen. Yes, but I have a pattern that I have set. And there's things of the Spirit that have been laid down that cannot be changed and will not be changed and are carrying out to the end of this year. So walk forward boldly and confidently. Don't be afraid about what's happening. Don't be worried. Hallelujah. For I have not neglected my people, says the Lord, for I will uphold you in all your purposes and plans that you have had, that you've walked up into this time, and I will bring you forward. Yes, yes, and into next year. And into next year coming, says the Lord, is a time of walking forth. Yes, there's going to be a pushing and ahead, a pushing. Yes, and you will have to push ahead. You'll have to push ahead because things will try to stop you. But don't let it stop you. You push ahead. You walk forth with boldness because my hand's upon you, said the Lord. And you will enter into that place that you have desired and you will walk into it. Yes, I, the Lord, will carry my people out. Just as in the times past when I brought my people out of Egypt. Yes, the devil did many things to keep my people from entering the land. But I raised up a people that I had planned to take in and I took them in and he could not stop it. And just in the same way, I have a people today that are entering in, and the devil will not stop it. For I, the Lord, have proclaimed it, and it shall be done. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord. Ha. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great victory. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Pressure, but great victory. Great, great victory. Hallelujah. Yes. I can see that. I can see that. Oh, my, 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 my. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, is there anything else you want to do? Because we only want to do what you want to do. No. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit gets going and the anointing goes. He gave us some stuff to chew on, I think. Some things to think about. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Do you have anything, Mike, or something? You got something?
Just want to tell you that's a confirmation of what's been in
my heart. Hallelujah. Well, good, good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it's one of the things is really look to that. It's one of the things. This is one of the things that I really appreciate that when Kenneth Hagin left, there's one thing I always appreciated about his ministry that when I'd go to his meetings, he many times gave me confirmations of things that the Lord had spoken to me about. And when he hooked me up with Randall Greer, that started again. I'd go to Randy and hear Randy would get talking about something. I think, God, the Lord's been dealing with me about this. And what was good, because lots of times I would hear things that the Lord had spoken to me, but then the Lord would add some things to that through the message he'd give them, and I could see some things clear. And really, that is what the prophet's ministry is today. The prophet's ministry is not a lot of what we see sometimes people do in the prophet's ministry. It's not telling us things we don't know. See, everybody's looking for this special word. God's going to tell you, you know, you're going to be the next president of the United States. If he ever told you about that, forget it. It don't matter. God didn't tell you about it. Don't matter what somebody else. Very seldom. I listen to Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said this very seldom that ever happened all of his years in the prophet's ministry. Did he tell somebody something that they didn't know? See, that's not what the prophet's ministry. The prophet's ministry in the Old Testament and the prophet's ministry in the New Testament aren't the same. Why? Because you have the Spirit in you too. See, they didn't. The prophet's the only one that had the Spirit on him to prophesy, so they couldn't hear the Spirit of God talking to them. He wasn't in them. They weren't born again. They didn't have the Holy Ghost in them. So the Holy Ghost would come along. The prophet's ministry is not there. It's not to take the place of the Holy Ghost in you. You got the Holy Ghost in you. See, we've tried to use ministries in a wrong manner. And sometimes I think ministries promoted themselves in a wrong way. Is number one, you got the Holy Ghost as much as I got the Holy Ghost. That's what's wonderful. You don't need somebody telling you everything. You have the Holy Ghost. You can know. God will talk to you personally. God will reveal himself to you personally. Hallelujah. Man, to me, that's good news. I'd hate to think that I'd have to tell you everything because you're in big trouble. I don't know that much. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, the Lord bless you and receive it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen to the Holy Ghost in you. Amen.